Chib. That's the Prince Alex. Welcome to the Blue Collar Dynasty Podcast.
We're busting our backs, getting our jeans dirty, and playing next man up dynasty football. We're giving you In the Trenches Dynasty Talk every week. Please reach out to us on Instagram or Twitter. Follow and message us on Instagram at Blue Collar Dynasty, where you can get sneak previews of the things to come, and on Twitter at Born Football. That's BORNE football. We'd love to hear from you. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast wherever you listen.
All right. This week, we're talking our current season rankings and week one starts of the week. Let's get to it. All right. So when it comes to season rankings, quick note, rankings can change based on news, time of year, injury, you know, things like that. So we remember that we got to be flexible with our rankings and how we feel about players. We are never fully out on any player. Any player can get a zero value at any time. So, for example, Andrew Luck and Deshaun Watson, both of their values plummeted quickly and only one returned back to relevance, right? So each season is a story, and each of us in fantasy, we get to write our own story, right? So we look at what we're going to do in this segment, we're going to look at the players as protagonists in our story, and some of them are going to be antagonists. Protagonists are players who, based on their average draft position, we're higher on. So, for example, who do we use? We use the football pros, fantasy pros, I should say.
Fantasy pros, yeah.
And, for example, they looked at the average draft position for different players in their position groups. So, for example, Christian McCaffrey, he's drafted this year number one overall. I might say I'm lower on Christian McCaffrey than the average draft position. So I might have him, you know, 5, 6, 10 steps lower. Or you may look at a player who is not drafted high, like someone who's drafted like 30th overall. But I might think that's a top 10 player. So to me, if I'm higher than the average draft position, that's a protagonist to me. If I'm lower than the average draft position, that's an antagonist to me. I hope that makes sense.
Makes sense to me.
All right. So you want to start with the players you have higher, or do you want me to start?
Yeah, we can go position by position. So we can kind of start with quarterbacks, and then I can go, and then you can go, and we'll do it that way.
Two per position?
Yeah, exactly. Right. So
four positions or kicker and defense too?
Just four positions. We don't really care about kickers and defenses. We'll give you a little taste of kickers and defenses for week one.
Somewhere else.
Yeah, just a little bit later.
All right. Quarterbacks, who you got? Who are your two quarterbacks that you're higher on than the average opposition?
All right. So the two in, I'd say, basically my top 20 that I'm much higher than consensus on or than ADP on is Jared Goff and Jordan Love. Now, both of these guys, the ceiling isn't that high for me. Jordan Love is, you know, kind of really starting for the first time in his career. He's had a few games here and there that he's gotten glimpses, or we've gotten glimpses of him, especially in the preseason. He's 16 for me. That's 10 spots higher than consensus. That's above guys like Anthony Richardson, Kenny Pickett, Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson. And this is for this season, to be clear. So I think he's going to surprise people. But he's still outside of, you know, that top 12 where I'd really want to be starting him week in, week out. But he's just a guy that I think can be in your rotation this year. And again, let's make it very clear that is for this year. I like Anthony Richardson better in Dynasty. And then my second guy, Jared Goff, the thought process there is Detroit is an improving team, an improving roster. Jared Goff is going to get stronger as they go through the year. They had a lot of suspensions early on, and they're building a better offensive line than they've had in the past. And he's just getting more weapons, and he's basically going to be gaining more weapons as they go through the season because of those suspensions that took some weapons away from him, unfortunately.
That's good. And, you know, Jared Goff, I think his in sleeper, his draft position is like he's QB 17, right?
So yeah.
He's really
low. Yeah. Yeah. I think when I pulled it, which was a little bit before you saw it, it was 18, 17, you know, that area whereas I have him kind of as a 12, you know, and I see him and Kirk Cousins kind of as the same dude.
I don't disagree with you. I feel like Jared Goff's gonna have a real good year. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, the two that I picked for quarterback, Sam Howell and Tua. Sam, I know everyone's like, watch the Commanders. Like, what are we talking about? But they have a revitalized offense. Hopefully, they sucked it up in terms of the complaints with Coach Bieniemy and they're working us too hard. But hopefully they set that up and they can just sit down and learn how to win. Because they're, you know, I told someone yesterday, that's loser energy, complaining about hard work. And then Sam Howell, he talked about how Rivera was saying if he actually saw him play last year, he would have started him the whole year, right? And so this kid must have more talent than we realize. And on top of it, what's his name? The quarter, he's also Heinicke. No. Is it Heinicke? No, not Heinicke. Is it Heinicke?
You're thinking about who's behind Sam Howell?
Yeah.
Taylor. Jacoby Brissett?
No, not Jacoby. Taylor Heinicke.
Oh, yeah.
Last year.
Yep.
And Heinicke. He actually benched himself in the game because he said, you all need to watch this Sam Howell kid play. He can play. Like, that's how good some people think he is. So I'm going to go ahead and, you know, buy into that tea. You know, say, okay, let's do it. Tua, I know people have a lot of injury scares, but with his jiu-jitsu training, things like that, I think he's going to be okay. You know, I think he's going to be fine. I think he's going to play safe, but play very intelligent all at the same time and not going to play scared. So I think he's going to be just fine. So I look forward to that. Those are my two that I have much higher than the ADP, the average draft position.
Great, great. Moving on to running backs. I'm going to look in my second tier for my two guys and the two that really stand out is first the leader in the clubhouse in my tier two, at rank seven is Alexander Mattison. So I've got him as my seventh best running back for this year. And that's 15 spots higher than average draft position. So I'm much higher, on him than consensus. There's a few other guys in this range that, you know, I'm up to, you know, eight and a half spots higher than consensus on. But the guy that I want to highlight is Isaiah Pacheco, who has been a bit banged up in the preseason, but he's back. He's back and he's healthy. And so he's the running back one for the Kansas City Chiefs. And that's a position that you really do want on your team. So I would encourage people to start strengthening their positions on Isaiah Pacheco. They've got a healthy room altogether. And when they're healthy, Isaiah Pacheco is the guy that they'd rather see on the field as far as what they showed last year. So those would be the guys that I prefer over consensus.
Okay. The two I chose for the running back position, I think I'm going to throw a third one in here. Don't kill me.
Oh man, then I've got two other guys that I want to talk.
Okay, then you can do them. I don't mind.
I'll throw in some honorable mentions after you're done. How's that?
Okay. I'm throwing one in here because I think one of them might be a little bit like, oh yeah, you know, he's been consistent over the years, so I can see that. But the other one won't be like that. The first one I'm gonna say is J.K. Dobbins. He is ranked really low, first of all, and on the charts, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for me, like he's QB, not QB. He's RB 17. I personally believe he's top 10. And that's if he stays healthy, right? But I really believe he's top 10 running back in the league. If, when healthy, he could be top five even. And so I'm really high on J.K. Dobbins, and I think he's going to be vital to this Ravens offense in terms of like they're increasing the pass attack. I think they want to make sure they establish a strong run defense. And if their pass attack is as good as it could be, I think it might open up more opportunities for J.K. Dobbins to get even more yards, so and potential scores. So for me, I'm really high on him. The second person that I had on my list was Nick Chubb. I'm like, how disrespectful can we be with Nick Chubb when it comes to how we're ranking him? Well, he's number nine. So, oh, no, sorry, he's RB number five. I still think he's a top three R running back. I still think so. So I would put him up a little bit higher, but I know that's why I said I'm gonna put him the third one because Nick Chubb might be like kind of a gimme. If he's top three, I don't think people will be too shocked. I don't know. Maybe will you be shocked? Let me ask you that.
So I've got
All
two knocks.
right. You said so. No. All right, go ahead.
I've got two knocks on Nick Chubb. So let's start the conversation out. Nick Chubb is one of the is definitely a top three running back, pure runner in the league. That being said, he's not really a pass catcher, though he can do it. But he's not usually focused on as a pass catcher. The other piece that of concern that I have is I lived through the season last year with Nick Chubb, as well as trading him away in another league and living through the heartbreak of ha not having him on my roster. So he was extremely good when Deshaun Watson was not on this team and playing. When Deshaun Watson came back, he played like an RB3 for other teams. He was god awful and really just almost destroyed my chances at a title. So I don't have a lot of solid confidence that Nick Chubb can do what he wants to do on the field with Deshaun Watson also out there. Just because that was very concerning last year. That being said, I think there's a massive opportunity for improvement there. And I'm not saying that it's not possible. I very much think it is possible. I've got him ranked as my 11th best running back, but I think there's more risk with him having seen so many games with Deshaun Watson and him being dreadful that I think there's more risk with him than some of the other ones.
Gotcha.
J.K. Dobbins, the issue there and why ADP is so low on him and why I'm actually, I meet ADP exactly in my rankings is he's had a lot of contract concerns. They seem to be going well. And however, he's also had some injury issues too. He last year, he was just coming off his ACL tear. He looked great at the end of the year. However, all of those things being said, we haven't seen him all preseason. So there's definitely some concerns with that and whether he's even going to be a Baltimore Raven.
I can appreciate that. Still think he's higher. Yeah, so let's go.
Yep.
I can appreciate both points. And I also think with Nick Chubb, though, I think they were forcing the Sean situation a lot. And I don't think that they were doing him any favors doing that. I think now, after having, half a year under their belt and having a whole, preseason, offseason as well, and preseason, I feel that the relationship is going to be much better. And we'll see a more consistent Nick Chubb, who he really is. That's just my thoughts.
Yep. So who's your third guy?
Zach Charbonnet. I'm not gonna lie. I think I said
Hey.
this last time we were out. We were on the podcast. I said I really didn't understand the hype behind Zach Charbonnet that you had. You really were hyped about him. Which is a major reason why I drafted him in the first place, other than he's a Seahawk. But I was like, I really didn't understand until I watched a preseason game and I said, oh my God, this guy is something special. So I definitely had him ranked, what you call it, higher than what you call it, anyone else. Oh, and I do have a
Yeah.
fourth one. I hate to do it to you. But let me let you bring your other two, because you had two. If
Okay.
maybe one of them is
Okay.
the one I'm thinking about, and I can say I agree with you.
Okay.
I really.
Maybe. And yeah, and obviously I'm higher than consensus on Zach Charbonnet as well. I'm 12 spots higher. and yet I still have him all the way down at 27. So it was easy for me to get him in my redraft league this year, and I made sure I did pick him up. So a couple other guys in my tier two that I wanted to talk about, Cam Akers. He's going to be a workhorse for the LA Rams. And so he's nine spots higher for me than consensus. And I think he's going to be an absolute, absolutely incredible for them. The other one that I had, I think actually was, I'm going to reach up into my tier one here, is Najee Harris. I've been talking about him for a while. So you guys know I'm high on Pittsburgh and their offense. And frankly, that hype is just getting more and more after the preseason. So Najee Harris is definitely, he's the number six running back for me. And that's over consensus, who has him at 12. So those are my two honorable mentions.
And the one mention I was going to bring up last was Deuce Vaughn. He looks amazing. Like RB53, she just seems way too low to me. You know, I can see him as a top 25, honestly, if they give him an opportunity. He really is a workhorse. Like, they can work him. He's like a really aggressive Darren Sproles.
Yeah. Well, and to be clear, I've got him at 54, and I'm 15 spots higher than consensus. Now, I will say I got mine from Fantasy Pros, but this is actually ESPN ranking, since that's where my home league is from. So I think that's why my ADP is a little bit off from yours. But yeah, Deuce Vaughn is dirt cheap right now. And
I know did you get Deuce in your other league?
I did not. Deuce is, I think somebody else did grab Deuce, but I have such a saturation that I decided to look in a different direction, because again, he is a fifth round rookie. So they could certainly decide that they like Rico Dowdle better than him and just move on. I got Zach Charbonnet and Tank Bigsby and Antonio Gibson. And so by the time I could have selected Deuce Vaughn, I already had six running backs for this redraft. So there wasn't any room in my roster for more running backs.
Gotcha. Makes sense. Yeah. So those are my running back situations there. Yeah. All right, let's go on to receivers.
Okay. Wide receiver. So I've already talked about Drake London a bunch. I've talked about George Pickens, so I'm not going to pick on those guys. I'm actually going to go in a reverse of a massive reversal. Basically everything I typically stand for Dynasty, and talk up two guys that everybody's leaving for dead. Number one is DeAndre Hopkins, and number two is Mike Evans. So I'm significantly higher on Mike Evans than consensus. I'm 15 spots higher, and DeAndre Hopkins, I'm five spots higher. So only slightly, but DeAndre Hopkins is going to lead Tennessee. He looked phenomenal last year, not at all like AJ Green, where we saw him slowing down. And I think his route running lends itself to some better late career production. So I think we're going to see Hopkins hang out a little bit longer. I don't think that's going to be true for Mike Evans, but at the same time, I think he's still going to be great for this season. He's never had less than 1,000 yards, and so it's really up to whether he gets his touchdowns. And yes, that can come and go. And Tampa Bay is not going to be a great team this year, but it is true that over his career, Baker Mayfield has been one of the better deep ball passers in the league. And if that's if he's able to sync up well with Mike Evans, that's the guy. That's the one that's going to be on the team getting those shots. So,
it's like Jameis Winston.
Yep.
5,000 yards a season.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And these guys are going to be behind most games. So they're going to be chasing teams and they're going to need to get those big chunk plays. And that's where Mike Evans comes in.
That's a good choice. That's a good point. All right. For me, the two receivers I got, Zay Flowers and Jalin Hyatt. I like them. I think they're going to be great. Jalin Hyatt, you already know. I saw that one hype video. I drafted him off of that. I said, I've seen enough draft, you know, that quick. Zay Flowers, he's looking electric. I saw his preseason games. He's looking good. He's looking healthy, strong, you know, and his routes are so powerful. Like, he's doing a great job. So I think those two are going to be electric for both of their teams. It's going to only and they're going to benefit a lot from it because they're rookies. Honestly, people might not respect them as much. And so that might give them an opportunity to really show out, especially early in the season.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and I think Jalin Hyatt is severely underappreciated, I feel like. And he won the Biletnikoff Award, right?
Yep.
I mean, it's wild to me that the winner of that prestigious award is somehow overlooked coming into the NFL. That just seems silly to me. So I do think that he's going to be a guy that's worth rostering. You know, and I'm in a league that, like, I'm able to pick him up and drop him all day, which is kind of ridiculous, but I don't have a lot of bench spots and I'm just kind of hanging out to see whether it's Isaiah Hodgins or him week one, you know, and look at snap shares. And that's what I care about for Jalin Hyatt. If he's got north of 50% snaps week one, I'm probably full go on Jalin Hyatt. And obviously it depends on what he does on the field, but his snap percents are going to go up as the season progresses. And same thing for Zay Flowers. So, you know, and Zay Flowers has a similar issue with Rashad Bateman. So, you know, they both are rookies that are potentially going to be the number one by the end of the year, but they aren't yet.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
All right. Let's look at tight ends. Tight ends that I'm way higher on or significantly higher. And I'm looking in that kind of second or third tier because I think those are the most interesting spots. Evan Engram and Cole Kmet are my two guys. Evan Engram, Jacksonville, tight end. He showed really that he could stay healthy and he could be really good if he stayed healthy, just like his rookie season probably 5 years ago. So he's moving into the prime of his career. They just signed him for a big contract, and I feel good about him moving forward in this offense. I want a piece of Jacksonville whenever I can get it. Cole Kmet.
Yeah. I feel like Evan Engram is a cheat, personally.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, I've got him as number three, to be clear, and the world has him at number eight.
Eight, yeah.
And that's a little disrespectful in my mind. Cole Kmet, again, it feels like another cheat code a little bit to me because he's outside of the top 12 for consensus, and yet I've got him at number nine. On Chicago, he's kind of been the go-to target. Now DJ Moore's in the building, but he's going to need someplace else safe to go with the ball, talking about Justin Fields. And yeah, I think Cole Kmet is going to be his security blanket.
I like the Cole Kmet choice. It's funny, I was watching college football this weekend. Shout out to Deion Sanders and Colorado Buffaloes. And something that people were talking about was the increased usage of tight ends in general in football. The tight ends are going to become more and more important to football schemes and offenses going forward. And so I like that choice of Cole Kmet. So that's why it's actually the reason why I picked this guy, Dalton Kincaid. I think I would rank him much higher than he's ranked right now, because I really believe if the Bills have any sense in their brain, they're going to use more of your tight ends just to get those chunk plays. When your running game is not as strong as you want, your tight ends can really help make up for that potentially, right? With blocking schemes, and then those blocking schemes can build up into the passing schemes so that I like block and pass out of it. There's so many opportunities to do that if they can do that. So that's why I picked Dalton Kincaid in that situation, because the situation I believe is great for him. I mean, what he can do. The second person I picked is Chigozie Okonkwo. And the reason I picked him is because of the situation again in Tennessee. I agree with you on DeAndre, first of all. He is still an elite receiver. People have slept on him, things like that. But I also believe that it's going to be committee assignments to move this team forward, and everyone's got to buy in, and everyone's got to carry their share. And I believe Chigozie is going to be a great option for Tannehill when it comes to releasing some pressure. So, and hoping if he's consistently there and able to make some moves, things like that, I think he's going to have a great season, and his ranking will be more justified after that. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping he has a breakout year, honestly. That's another hope. I'm being hopeful here, but we'll see.
Yeah,
but once again, don't forget, y'all, I don't know nothing about these tight ends.
Yeah, both are good picks. I think my fear for both of them is how much what their target percentage is going to be on their team. But if they can get that target percentage high, then they will be good, and they're worth more than the 13 and 15 that I've got them ranked. I was just looking at some of the guys around there, and there's Jake Ferguson and Gerald Everett, two people that one is moving out of the, oh my gosh, offensive coordinator for Dallas that just moved to Chargers.
I know you're talking about, it was just in my mind.
Kellen Moore. Yeah. All right, I'm not crazy. So Jake Ferguson is leaving that system somewhat, but who knows how much that's going to play a part in how his usage is, or if they're going to continue really overutilizing the tight end. But Gerald Everett is moving into that system, and he was already a pretty borderline top 12 tight end. So I think those guys in that same area, Dalton Kincaid and Chig, it's a good area for them to be in, under those guys that we have a little bit more confidence in. So I like it.
That's a good point. And good analysis there. Like, the situation can play a huge role in what goes on, which is be interesting. I guess an honorable mention, excuse me. Who's the tight end on the Commanders?
So that's the problem right now is, so they do have, I think Logan Thomas is actually, yeah. Logan Thomas is there.
Yeah. So that's the situation there for tight end. So, and I tell you, I don't know nothing about the tight end. But let's move on. Let's move on to the next situation. So we got, we're talking about the tiers, right? So yeah. We're describing the tier of each position.
Actually, so first we're talking about antagonists.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
So who were significantly lower on than consensus? Than
well, ADP. I'll start off with quarterback. I only got one in my mind, Daniel Jones.
Well, and so he's at 15, and so you're still lower on him than that spot. Yeah. For me, it's Deshaun Watson and Tua Tagovailoa. I don't like the risk there. I'm highly risk adverse, so that's why those two are out for me.
Makes sense.
Running back, both. I've got a few. Jonathan Taylor is the one that screamed down my board. That's more of a situational issue where ADP doesn't adapt quick enough. But I'm 17 spots lower than consensus on him. So I've got him at 23, and I am full panic when it comes to Jonathan Taylor, and I am a Jonathan Taylor manager. So yeah, some problems there. And then Breece Hall is the other one. I'm 22 spots, almost 23 spots lower on Breece Hall than consensus. And that's not, so I've got him at 35. And that's not because I don't like Breece Hall, the player, but they've got Dalvin Cook now and a few other running backs that have shown that they can really do well when put on the field. And Breece Hall is coming off his ACL tear. He's had some issues coming back from that. He's not ready yet. And yeah, I am not touching him this year.
I'm going to put James Conner on the list because almost the same reason as the other, as the Buccaneers, they're going to be playing from the back a lot. So I think they're going to be throwing the ball a lot more. So I don't know if they're going to, if he's going to get the touches that he needs to get his numbers up. But also, I don't really believe in that much. And then Dude. The next person, what do you say?
Sorry, I was just going to, since James Conner is one of my guys, I got to protect him a little bit. He's a great pass catcher. And he's literally the only guy that is probably worth playing in Arizona at running back. So those are the two things going for him. But I agree. I am fearful of James Conner, though I am higher than consensus on him.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that. We'll see. We'll see what happens with his situation. The next running back for me, I think they got that guy. Wow, he might be worth a little bit low, actually. That guy over there.
Which one?
Brian Robinson Jr. from Alabama.
Yeah. The issue there is, him and Antonio Gibson are at 31 and 32 for me, and I've got them both three spots higher than consensus. Meaning they're at 34 and 35. So yeah, I would agree. It seems like between the two of them, one of those guys is going to be a top 24 running back. It's just a matter of, we don't know who.
But for me, I would move James Cook down. Excuse me.
You're going to move James Cook down?
You know, he's like 30 right now already, so I think he's in the right situation.
Yeah. So is he James Cook, you think, is going to be outside of the top 30?
No. I think he's fine based on the ADP.
Got it. Okay.
So
who are you lower on than consensus?
Ooh, this is a tough one. If I have to pick, I'm going to pick Miles Sanders.
I like that one a lot.
And that's because I don't trust their offense yet. But even though that it seems like they have good run block situations. So that could be really, really helpful for him. So I reserve the right to be wrong.
Yeah. honestly, my biggest knock for Miles Sanders is health. I'm worried he won't be able to stay on the field that long, but there are, especially since he picked up an injury, I think it was a hamstring too, or late in camp. I think he is healthy to start the season, but he did pick that up, so that might nag him throughout the year. But they used all sorts of Jags last year in Carolina as their running backs, and they did phenomenal. They were worth starting week in, week out, whoever was the starting running back. So I do like him as a running back. He's probably going to stick in your roster if he's starting, but the issue for me is him not staying on the field. All right, let's look at wide receivers. Who are we lower on? All right, I've got one that breaks my heart, and I really don't want to advertise this at all, but I have to say it. Devonta Smith, he is, in my mind, top 15 talent at the wide receiver position, maybe top 10 in the league. But he's stuck behind A.J. Brown. And the amount of targets that those two guys are going to be splitting was extremely high last year. And yet, we're still looking at Devonta Smith as somebody that can do that every year. And the running game should be better. They're going to probably be running more. They're always in the league in these games, and then they sit their starters late in the game. So Devonta Smith is a guy to me that, while I love having him on my roster because he is a good, solid, consistent wide receiver, I'm worried that he won't have the upside that some of the other players that are going in his area will. Like somebody like Chris Olave, for example, where consensus would have them pretty much back to back, or Drake London, you know, those guys that are the number ones on their team, that, you know, you just won't get that out of Devonta Smith. But that's my concern with him. I do love the player. I just don't love the situation. I do like his steady quarterback play, though. The other guy is Deebo Samuel. Again, it's market share that keeps me low on Deebo. I think Brandon Ayuk is the better value, and he was the better player last year. And Deebo had a number two overall season, and that's what keeps him up here. He's obviously got that upside, but there's so many mouths to feed in San Francisco in the passing game that it's anyone's guess in any given week, and it's really whoever stays healthy gets the winning ticket to the top 12 in their position. So what do you think, Chip?
I'm looking at it. I'm thinking to myself, who would I drop lower than they currently are? Because I know, you know who I would do? Where is he? He's not even on his list. Hold up. You don't have CeeDee Lamb on his list.
CeeDee Lamb is number four.
I'll drop him lower. That's who I'll drop lower. I don't know. Something I just don't trust about it. Something I don't trust about it. And it's just my gut feeling. So I'm going to go ahead and trust that and drop CeeDee Lamb lower. I put him in top 10, though. Probably number 10. But definitely lower. Okay. And then the next person that I was thinking about, excuse me.
And consensus, by the way, is number six. So you're basically dropping him by four spots.
Yeah. Oh, another person dropped much lower. Marquise Brown. Another trust issue person. Maybe it's the Oklahoma receivers. That's why.
Well, and are you talking from my rankings or overall? Because he's going to be number 32, I think.
Yeah, overall. I'm agreeing. Yeah.
You want him lower than that?
Yeah.
Okay. So, despite being a number one wide receiver on a team that's going to be behind most of the year, you're going to drop him lower. Well, when you say it like that, Alex.
He's still got to catch it. Well, also, the last person I want to say was Chris Godwin.
He's a value right now, 27.
Yeah. I'm a little bit lower. Not too much lower. Maybe like 30, 31.
Yeah. I think it's pretty much take your shot on either him or Mike Evans. They're not both going to be good this year. It's just a matter of who is the favorite.
But they reserve the right to shock us.
They do, as do all teams, I suppose.
Yeah, well, those are my choices for the receiver situation.
Yeah. All right, let's look at tight end. So what tight ends are we way too high on, or is consensus too high on? My first guy is George Kittle. That guy can't stay healthy. I've got him at number seven. Again, not that low, but he's consensus number four. So I don't like him over people like Darren Waller, Dallas Goedert, and TJ Hockenson. I'd rather have any of those players. And of course, Evan Ingram is up there who jumped all of them. So he's my number one. You're not going to like my number two, but unfortunately, it's just true on my rankings here. David Njoku, I've got him 8 spots lower than consensus. You know, you'd think that this means I hate him. I've actually loved him throughout his career. I've just been waiting years for him to do something more than just 1 week. So I also just don't believe in Deshaun Watson and quite frankly want to bet against him too. So that's why David Njoku is also so low. But he's still in the mix here with those guys that we were talking about earlier, Dalton Kincaid, Sam Laporta, Gerald Everett, Chig, you know, those, that tier just on the edge of the top 12. And that's the beauty, by the way, of tier-based rankings is, yeah, I might have David Njoku lower than Jake Ferguson, for example. However, which is kind of outrageous per ADP, but they're in that same tier. And if I were in a draft and I already had CD Lamb, for example, I might look David Njoku's way and say, okay, well, actually, I like how that fits better in this team for me than, you know, than Jake Ferguson would, for example.
That makes sense. This one's a hard one, but as you were talking, I'm thinking to myself, it's easy to put people up, but we have to also realize as you put somebody up, somebody's going to come down.
Yeah, yeah. That's the tough part about tight ends is really, and we'll talk about this more on the tiers, but there's really only a few set guys, and then it's just a matter of like taking your pick for week one or the next week.
My only tight end I can really think of that I think is a little too high is TJ Hockenson. I don't say, I think he's still in the top 10,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think he's you have him at number 3.
No, I have got him at number 4. Consensus has him at number 3.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I would have dropped him.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, even lower. That's not a bad thought. I do like his talent, but Minnesota does have a lot of mouths to feed. Well, I don't know that that's true, though, because it's kind of him and Jordan Addison and, who's that other guy? Justin Jefferson. Yeah, I guess he's good. But outside of them and Alexander Mattison, nobody scares me in terms of taking targets away from TJ Hockenson other than Justin Jefferson. I do believe in Addison, but that doesn't mean I think he's going to absolutely 100% take targets away right away.
That makes sense. I can appreciate that. So this is pretty good. I see that Isaiah is not on the list. Isaiah Likely.
Isaiah Likely is on my list. He's number 31. I only rank 32 tight ends, which means that there's teams whose tight ends don't even make my list because I have both Likely and Mark Andrews, as well as both Buffalo tight ends. So, and 2 New England tight ends, which is a little ridiculous. I don't like either of them. In my mind, Likely is... Sorry, what's that?
I was really hoping Zach Ertz is a really amazing job, so I can trade him.
Yeah, he's got to be healthy first. That's really his issue.
That's true.
But Likely, the issue with him, in my mind, is that he is behind Mark Andrews, and he's going to be the second fiddle.
Like it.
All right.
So those are our antagonists.
Yep. Let's talk about things we don't like about each other's rankings. And let's try to bring up new things that we haven't focused on before. Because we know we battle on a few players like Daniel Jones and Najee Harris probably. And
I think quarterback-wise, I'm just going to throw it at you. I think Deshaun and Russell are too low on your list. I'd put them a little bit higher.
Mm.
I think Justin Herbert is too high on your list. That's a lie. No, I take that back. He is not too high. He's good. But I think Daniel Jones is too high on your list. But Deshaun and Russell, I think they can be higher on your list. Next thing with the running backs, I think, I see why. I was going to say Jonathan Taylor's too low, but I see why. You know, the contract dispute and all that stuff making it hard.
Yeah.
So, Cam Akers, no, he's in the Rams, right? Yeah.
Yep. You don't like my ranking of Derrick Henry, of course.
Yeah, that's disrespectful. 13? What are you doing? Like, yeah, he has to be a higher. Yeah. Above Jahmyr Gibbs, at least.
Yeah.
At the least. Joe Mixon. I think Joe Mixon would be ranked lower. I personally think that.
Yeah, so Joe Mixon is a late riser for me. I've been low on him all off season, and I finally just realized that, yeah, they're giving him the workload, and I don't like what's going on with Joe Burrow. So, I shouldn't say that. Joe Burrow looks fine, but he was a little banged up. So I just think that Joe Mixon is going to carry a little bit more of the load, and there's really nobody behind him that scares me. And so I think they're just going to roll with him, and he's going to be a top 12 running back this year, probably. I had him on my team last year, and I didn't really enjoy the experience other than the one game, but that's how things sometimes go. So yeah, don't disagree with Joe Mixon.
I said, say that one more time. About something about last year, I didn't hear it clearly.
Oh, I said I experienced Joe Mixon last year, and I disliked everything about the experience except for one game when he had like a massive explosion and won me the week. But like every other game really sucked. So I don't think Joe Mixon still has it. And it's really just his volume that keeps him up that high for me. So I don't disagree with that, especially with like someone like Ramondre Stevenson, Derrick Henry behind him. But again, all of these guys are kind of in that same tier to me where they can, you know, all the way down to James Cook and up to Alexander Mattison. That's all one tier. Derrick Henry, it's really more of an age thing and a workload through his career. But, you know, any one of these guys are either super talented or has a huge workload. And there's a few that have both, but have age issues or quarterback issues. So, yeah.
Makes sense.
What about wide receivers?
What do I disagree with you with? I think I think Mike Evans, I would put him a little lower. Marquise Brown as well. Those are the two that I would knock down a little bit lower. Just because their situations.
Yeah.
You talk about it. Give me 1 second. I'm going to go grab something.
Okay. Yeah, I think we talked about Mike Evans already and Marquise Brown. Both of them are almost 15 spots higher than consensus. And I think a lot of that is the risk in the quarterback play that has people startled. And I did take that into consideration. And Mike Evans, again, similar to what we saw with Joe Mixon, or what I saw with Joe Mixon, where I was way down on him for most of the offseason. And then I discovered, you know, the stats about Baker Mayfield's ability to throw the ball downfield. And I also thought through how Baker Mayfield may take over this team and really actually be good enough to sustain a number one wide receiver. And so that led me to bring him back up and to slot him at number 17. Because again, we haven't seen Mike Evans be bad, so why should we assume that he will? even with his horrible quarterback plays that he's had throughout his career, he's never had a good quarterback except for late career Tom Brady, you know, and even that kind of fell off at the end. Marquise Brown, similar bad quarterback situation. I would
miss the Ravens now.
Yeah. And his quarterback has an ACL tear. So I can see the argument for both of those. I don't fully disagree.
My question becomes a lot of times the mentality. Do they have the mentality to do this again? You know, with Mike Evans, he's going backwards. You just won a Super Bowl. You just had the greatest quarterback ever, right? And now you're back to arguably mediocrity, right? So that's problematic. So I can see that for sure. That might affect them. So, but we'll see.
Yep.
And then,
all right,
Jackson Smith and Jigba, I have them ranked higher because I'm biased. That's my first bias on though, y'all. So don't attack me.
Yeah, and I've got Jackson Smith and Jigba right at consensus at 37. And quite frankly, his injury did not help that at all. And I would actually maybe push him. What's that?
They say he might be back week one.
Yeah.
I'd like him to be back week one. I think he can take another week and rest.
Yeah. I think that would be smart for him. But there's some other guys below him that, you know, like I've got Michael Pittman below him, Zay Flowers. Those are some guys that might have opportunities to do a bit better. But I mean, just the talent of Jackson Smith and Jigba, I think, floats him up to the top because, again, talent will win out over time.
Can you talk about your analysis on Deontay Johnson? Because I'm not sure. I don't know his game at all.
So Deontay Johnson is he's a short yardage, high volume receiver, much like Tyler Lockett, who I have right next to him. And last year, he did have a really good season with Pickett. The only issue is he got zero touchdowns. So touchdowns are not a sticky stat. He scored touchdowns in the past. And a good number. I think he had like seven in his season before that. He's the dump off guy, and I think he's going to continue to be that guy, that kind of slot role for Pittsburgh in the security blanket. I do think he is. It's going to be either him or George Pickens in my mind, unless Pickett has it lights out career year, which I'm not expecting him to. I'm expecting him to be sufficient enough to get this team into the playoffs, but really on the back of the defense. And so I see George Pickens being kind of that deep ball guy that makes enough big plays that really gets him in the top 24 wide receivers. I've got him at 26. Which is still nine spots higher than consensus. So, yeah, and in Deontay Johnson, I'm only a spot lower than consensus on. I do like Deontay Johnson as a receiver. Yeah, Christian Watson is somebody that I'm not really buying the hype on. I had him on my team last year. A lot of touchdowns floated his stock, but I certainly think he's worth taking the shot on, which is why I have him at 36. He's relevant. He's not just a bury him type of guy, but he's not in that same realm as George Pickens, or, you know, he's not that kind of talent. And he's also not a guy that has that steady. He's going to have that steady volume like George Pickens will. He's got a lot more competition on his team, and he hasn't really like pulled himself away from those other guys yet. So he still has to do that. I think it's a valuable guy to have on your team, but I don't think he's a, you know, he's not a league winner per se. You know, he's a growth guy. He's a second year guy, so he could turn out really well. But touchdowns again are not a sticky stat. and those could go away and Christian Watson could be left with, you know, just very few targets and really not much to show for his game. So there's some shakiness to where he's at. You want to move on to tight ends here, Chib?
Yeah, let's do it. All right. Of course, David Njoku is the person that we talked about before.
Yep.
That
yep.
I would have higher.
Yep.
But it's all good. I think I would also have Dawson Knox a little higher too.
Hmm.
Because I really think Buffalo needs to focus on that tight end situation.
It's just been so it's been so long since two tight ends made it in the top 12 together that I just can't. I mean, it's wild that I have them in the top 24 together. So I think, yeah, I think that's tough.
So you're higher on Dalton. That's funny, Dalton and Dawson. You're higher on Kincaid than you are on Knox. Why?
Because of the pass catching. Dawson Knox is a great blocker, and I think that's in the two tight end sets, that's what he's going to be primarily. He's going to be on the field. They paid him a lot of money to be out there. But I think Kincaid, I think they're just so excited about him in Buffalo that they're not, there's going to be no way to keep him off the field. They're going to throw him out there. I think he's better at his position already than I would say all of the wide receivers except for Steph Diggs on Buffalo. So I think he's going to be out there and they're going to throw him the ball. Dawson Knox will also be out there. But his talent is not to the level in the pass catching as Dalton Kincaid. So I think that's what's going to keep Dalton Kincaid's stock rising and him on the field even early here in the season. And then that stock's only going to rise as the season goes on. And Dawson Knox is going to go down.
With Jameson Williams not playing for the first like six or seven games for Detroit, would you put Sam LaPorta a little bit higher then?
Yeah. Yeah. During those six games, I would. Sam LaPorta is, I mean, if he's almost worth starting from the get go. I've got Kincaid in one of my starting lineups, and I probably would for Sam LaPorta too. If I had a dreadful tight end position and it was like I was choosing between Sam LaPorta and someone that I have around there, like Tyler Conklin on the Jets, like I honestly, you know, Conklin, I could probably move down quite a few spots. I probably would have Njoku. Like, that's pretty disrespectful. I'd say that I have Conklin over Njoku. I probably wouldn't end up doing that in real draft. You know, same thing with K. Dot. And I think that the upside is there over Conklin. But Sam LaPorta, if you said, okay, you could either start Gerald Everett week one or Sam LaPorta, I'm probably throwing Sam LaPorta out there. I already made that decision with Dalton Kincaid, where I'd rather have him week one out there than Gerald Everett, just to see what he's going to do, you know, see what his snap share is. As kind of an aggressive move, I'm willing to do aggressive moves at the tight end position because, you know, even Gerald Everett could get you 0 points in a week. It's not like that's a safe option. There's no safety in the tight end position. All right. So why don't we talk these tiers and our starts of the week and get out of here. Let the people get to the football this week.
Okay. Let's do it.
All right. You're starting us off on the tiers for quarterbacks, mostly so you don't have to talk about tight ends anymore.
Thank God. Ooh, tight end, man. All right. So, tiers. Each position. So, for the quarterback, we got six different tiers. The first one, unshakables. And some of these are statues. Because when they're done with their career, we're going to build a statue to honor them. All right. Some of the elite quarterbacks, we pretty much know what to expect week in, week out. Pat Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson's. They're going to put points on the board. They're gonna carry your team because of the nature. They're going to be in the MVP conversation. Jalen Hurts as well. Don't be disrespectful, Chip. So those are the unshakables. Then number two, you got pocket assassins, people who will sit in the pocket and murder you. They will find out. They will pinpoint who they want to give it to, and then drop right there in the bucket for them, right? Or hit them right in the hands or the numbers, right? It's a him and the numbers. So, who are those players? Let me think. Players who are scared to run. Who are those?
Well, you already said Joe Burrow, and I would put Joe Burrow in that tier where it's Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow. They will run, but primarily they're pocket passers. And that's where their bread and butter are. Trevor Lawrence is probably gonna get there too.
Even Trevor Lawrence, him too. He'll
You've
run
got
though. He'll
Oh
run, but
yeah.
he's not
All
willing to run.
three of them could get like 500 yards in a season, but that's about it, you know.
So I like that. All right. And then number three. You got your, I'm gonna call it turf gliders, right? These are quarterbacks that are gonna run on you all day, all night if they want, as they see fit. And number one is gonna be Justin Fields. He'll run you to death. Lamar's number two in that situation. So he's in two situations, number one and number third, and number three.
That's because he's not an unshakable, let's be honest.
He's unshakable. Don't be rude. Come on. So yeah, Lamar, Justin, who else?
Prescott,
You think
Daniel
so?
Daniel Jones. Yeah, I
Daniel,
think I
sure.
mean in terms of when I was looking at this, my tier three, Lamar Jackson, Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence, and Dak Prescott. So like I even had Justin or I even had Trevor Lawrence in this kind of, yeah, they're more in the running category right now. I think he's only there for a year or two, Trevor Lawrence, because of his youth. But you know,
Also, if you have a weak old line, you gotta run.
right, exactly. So this is kind of like the back end of the top tier, or kind of the middle back. And then number four, tier four, is kind of the last guys that I would be comfortable starting, right?
True, high floor starters. I like that description. I think about who would be high floor starters.
So
There's a lot.
people like Geno Smith, Jared Goff, Kirk Cousins, Aaron Rodgers, guys
That's
that
true.
you know will come through for you, to at least give you that baseline. I had Daniel Jones in there too, and he's kind of an interesting guy because I think he gets to it in a different way than the others. Like, we don't have him in that elite tier as a passer. However, he runs enough to get him into that solidly, a good baseline number for fantasy purposes. But yet, like, we're still not putting him in that top tier as a passer, or as a, that top tier is for fantasy. He's just, he's got a high floor. That's basically what it is. He's because of the rushing, he can do that.
That's true. And then upside fill-ins, players who pretty much you gotta bye week. You gotta put somebody in. Somebody got injured, whatever it is.
I can name
Another high
off my
floor, another I was gonna say another high floor starter, honestly, would be Tua.
That would be true for how you feel about him. Like I don't have those same feelings, and you I but if you're comfortable with him, then yeah, he would be in that. Deshaun Watson could be in that rushing tier if again you feel that way about him. Matthew Stafford, depending on what you feel about his health, could be in that tier of steady passers, the safe, high upside type of guy. But in this week in, week out fill in, my tier has a lot of those guys in there. So that's where I stashed Matthew Stafford, Jordan Love, Anthony Richardson, Kenny Pickett, Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray, Desmond Ridder, Tua Tagovailoa, Sam Howell, a real mix of guys. But compared to the other ones below them, for fan, they either have high, they're either young and can run the ball, have a potent, like there's a decent amount of hype on them to be good on their team, like Sam Howell, Kenny Pickett, and Jordan Love, or they've got elite, they've shown elite talent in the past, but there's some good knocks on them, like Kyler Murray, Tua, Deshaun, Matthew Stafford,
That's true.
and Russell Wilson. Sorry, he should
Yeah,
be.
that's true. And then roster worthy depth, which I would say for me, people who they may develop over the time. So typically younger players who may show have a good ceiling.
Right.
And you're not gonna play them now, but a year or 2 years they might be showing you something.
Right,
I can
exactly.
also say people who are trade worthy, like if they're having a good outing, you can trade them and get something back for them, but you're not gonna need them, anytime soon. So I would even say that Derek Carr could be in this situation.
Yeah, Derek Carr is in this tier for me. Two guys that fit into what you first said about growth potential, Bryce Young and CJ Stroud. Some people might argue for the tier above. It's really a matter of how much you think they're going to run the ball.
I'm more comfortable with roster worthy depth for those two anyway.
Yeah. Mac Jones is also here for me. I've got him right at consensus, but I feel very high on Mac Jones at 28. Baker Mayfield is also in this realm. Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy actually had a really good season last year, and consensus would have
I'm a
him.
high floor starter, actually.
Yeah. Consensus would have him like more towards that realm. They've only got him jumping up 8 spots, which would be upside fill-ins probably, but still, I think you could make that argument. Other guys, Ryan Tannehill, Jimmy Garoppolo. These are guys, group him with Derek Carr and Baker Mayfield, or those two with Derek Carr, Baker Mayfield. Kind of those starters that have either shown flashes in the past, but you really don't fully believe in them as starters, but yet they might be good enough to do something. So in a good matchup, you might throw them in, or you're just waiting to see if, hey, maybe Derek Carr sticks in New Orleans and all of a sudden they're a contending team. Maybe
That's true.
the Raiders were the problem.
That's true. That's true, which probably true.
Usually true, usually true. So yeah, thanks. Yeah, that's the quarterback tiers. Looking at running back. So the tier one is, are those running backs that are unupgradable. So kind of a non-word that I'm using, but guys that you have them in your roster and you're not looking at that spot at all as anything that you could touch or trade a better player, trade away to get a better player because
Okay.
they're, you just can't upgrade them. Christian McCaffrey, Josh Jacobs, Bijan Robinson, Eckler, Saquon Barkley, Najee Harris, in my mind. You could probably trade in the tier, but it's just a matter of flavor, really, for me. And again, you might not see those players in this tier, or you might see other players in this tier, like Derrick Henry, Nick Chubb. You can make those arguments for sure. Then tier two. great starting options. This is actually one of my larger tiers for running backs. I feel like there's a lot of running backs that are really solid options for starting. I'm all the way down at 24. So, which is funny because actually in most leagues, that's the minimum that you have to start. So I think there's a good selection of guys that you can put in your top two spots for running backs out there. And they're worth starting. If you can get three of them, you get a little bit of an advantage. But yeah, Alexander Mattison, Joe Mixon, Tony Pollard, Jahmyr Gibbs, Nick Chubb, Ramondre Stevenson, Derrick Henry, Cam Akers, Aaron Jones, Travis Etienne, Isaiah Pacheco, Kenneth Walker, James Conner, J.K. Dobbins, Javonte Williams, Damien Pierce. That was me taking a breath dramatically. Oh. That was a dramatic breath because there's so many. Damien Pierce, Jonathan Taylor, James Cook. You know, any of those guys, assuming Jonathan Taylor's health and actually playing for the team, you know, any of those guys, I'd be happy to have in my starting roster. And then we get to the borderline weekly starters. So these are guys that you would be considering, but you'd be okay benching. Khalil Herbert, Raheem Mostert, who, by the way, I am way higher than consensus on Raheem Mostert, but that's because it looks like he's the only one that's healthy in Miami.
Yeah. Jeff Wilson.
Yeah, not healthy.
That's my guy, too. I'm so upset.
Yeah, yeah. Zach Charbonnet is in this tier. Rashad White, Miles Sanders, Alvin Kamara, Brian Robinson, Antonio Gibson. All those guys are worth starting in particular weeks and might get more worth starting, like Zach Charbonnet. Hopefully he gains value throughout the year. All right, week four, high upside non-starters. Guys that you could potentially put into your lineup as every week starters if they show more than you expect. So David Montgomery, Dalvin Cook, Breece Hall, Rashad Penny, Devon Achane, DeAndre Swift, A.J. Dillon, Tank Bigsby, Chuba Hubbard, Tajay Spears, some backups in here, Ezekiel Elliott, Jaylen Warren, Jamal Williams, Elijah Mitchell. A lot of backups start coming in. There's only 32 starting running backs, so once you get past 33, you're bound to have a lot of backups in those rankings. But one starter, you know, whoever you think is the starter in for the Jets and for Philadelphia, you know, any of those guys. And then Jamal Williams is actually probably the week one starter for New Orleans Saints, but he might not hold on to it all that long. The next tier is our last tier, and it's number five, roster worthy depth. Though, so this is actually probably a tier for every single every single position. But I'm not going to read through these guys, but basically anybody that I haven't named falls into this until you reach the values of Matt Breida, Eric Gray. I do have Rico Dowdle in here. He might shoot up boards. Zach Evans, you know, those. It's not as applicable for, like, dynasty. You know, you're going to hang on to those guys. Like Zach Evans, if you drafted him, you're going to hang on to him. But, you know, he might be borderline not rosterable. So you know, he might be an early cut if there's an issue, or if he is not showing anything, he's fourth on the depth chart, you're probably going to be saying sayonara. So wide receivers, let's look at those. What do you got, Chib?
The top tier we got are called the answered prayers. Why? Because when they put their hands up to pray, as long as you get the ball in their vicinity, prayers get answered. They catch it. Seems like they're open a lot. Yes, that's true. So, you know, two of them, Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase. We understand that. I think this year we'll have a couple more jump into that same category. Historically, Davante Adams has been that guy. Let's put respect on the name. Cooper Kupp, same exact thing. You know, amazing stuff. They're not in that tier this year, most likely because of their situations. Honestly, that's about it. But other than that, you know, we got Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase. The next tier we have here is going to be elite starters. That's where you have your Stephon Diggs, CeeDee Lambs, which I don't really agree with. But Amon Ross St. Brown, which I think he's going to have a huge jump this year. A.J. Brown, Garrett Wilson, Tyreek Hill, of course, and Davante Adams. Tyreek Hill actually could probably be, for me, one of those answer prayers players. And then the next one, the next tier that we have here is the locked-in starters. So these are people, you know, week in, week out, you're going to make sure that they start. In this situation, we have what's it called? Cooper Kupp, Chris Olave, Drake London, DK Metcalf, Jalen Waddle, George Pickens, DeAndre Hopkins. And then after that, what we have is the next tier. We have the borderline weekly starters. So you're close, but they're not there. I'm going to go with Jerry Jeudy. I don't even know. Hold up.
Yeah, I'd say Jerry Judy's good in this borderline weekly starters.
Yeah, but then I saw Amari Cooper, and I'm like, well, he should be a borderline weekly starter too. I mean, he should be a locked-in starter as well.
Yeah, I agree. I can tell you, the guys that I have in these tiers. You want that?
Who do you have?
So, locked-in starters, Cooper Kupp. I'm just going to go last names. Kupp, Waddle, Olave, Metcalf, London, Hopkins, Higgins, Evans, Brown, Allen, Ridley, Smith, Jeudy, Moore, and Cooper.
Yeah.
And then one that I would take out of your what you had said and put into borderline weekly starters is Pickens. I also have Samuel, Godwin, Kirk, Addison, Ayuk, McLaurin, Dotson, Cooks, Johnson, Lockett, Watson, Smith and Jigba, Pittman, and Flowers in that.
Don't sleep on Tyler Lockett, y'all. Let me just say that before we keep going.
That's definitely worth saying, especially with Jackson Smith and Jigba's injury.
Yep. And then we got upside fill-ins next. So,
yeah, I think go for it.
I would say players who, if someone's down, someone's sick, whatever, put them in, they have a good upside. You know, a lot of times these can be big play players. I'm thinking about it like right now. Mm-hmm. They can be big players who just don't get them targets, right? Who don't have a quarterback pairing that allows them to like capitalize on what they're doing. So, we got Gabe Davis, Jalen Hyatt. Juju, I guess. Juju, Treylon Burks, Zay Jones, Van Jefferson. Van Jefferson is up here because he's the only healthy. He's the wide receiver one right now for the Rams, and he's the only one that's healthy because Kupp is out right now. Isaiah Hodgins, Sky Moore, Mike Williams. After that, the next tier we have are the long shot bench warmers. And these long shot bench warmers, we're looking at Romeo Dobbs, Joshua Palmer, Cortland Sutton, Michael Wilson, Quentin Johnson, which is interesting with Quentin Johnson because people are afraid of his hands. They don't think his hands are as good or as elite as they should be because he's QB. He's a wide receiver too, right? It's going to be Mike. No, not Mike. Is it Mike?
He's going to be a wide receiver three on his own team. Keenan Allen and Mike Williams are above him. And he might even be number four because of Joshua Palmer.
Interesting.
He's the fourth Charger on my list, but he's the third Charger in a matter of, what was that?
Six picks? Three. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've got Mike Williams, Palmer, and Johnston all down here between 49 and 54 because I don't know who of them is going to be good enough to start, and likely it's going to be none of them because they all have enough talent to get targets.
That's true. And then we go on to roster-worthy depth, right? And so here we have Wandale Robinson, Tyler Boyd, Curtis Samuel, Rondale Moore, Darnell Mooney, Elijah Moore, DJ Clark Jr., Jacoby Myers, Allen Robinson, Tank Dell. That's an interesting name. John Metchie the third. Now, John Metchie, is he injured?
No.
What team has he played for?
He's back. He plays for Houston. He is totally back and ready to go.
He's definitely roster worthy depth. Definitely. For me. So then they got Khalil Shakir, Denzel Mims, Mecole Hardman Jr., Michael Thomas, Rashawn Bateman, Odell Beckham Jr.
And Bateman, I think Bateman is even disrespectful down here. I buried him after he was injured, and Zay Jones, I felt like was, or Zay Flowers was going to take the job from him. I would probably even them out a little bit now. But yeah, Odell Beckham, I definitely have him buried in here.
Yeah. So, but those are the choice for the wide receivers.
Yeah.
All right, next, tight end.
All right, tight ends. So we've got first tier is the Travis Kelce tier, and it deserves to be named that way because he's been the top tight end almost every year for the last 5 years. I think Mark Andrews stole one from him, maybe because of a little bit of Kelce injury. But tier two is Mark Andrews. I don't think those two guys can really be pushed lower other than for anything other than age in Kelce's case, and maybe Isaiah Likely gets more run in Baltimore and they focus more on wide receivers and Andrew slips. But if anything, he's going to get more targets this year. So those two guys I think are solid in the top two. And then it gets interesting. And then you have the other weekly starters. And that's, I think, a perfect description of the tight end position, because they're really, after you get over the top tier, or the top two tiers, really, you've got the other people. It's, you know, Evan Engram, TJ Hockenson, Dallas Goedert, Darren Waller, George Kittle, Kyle Pitts, Cole Kmet, Pat Freiermuth, and Greg Dulcich. Those guys, in my mind, it's okay. Whoever you get, and that's who you're starting. You know, I obviously like some of them better than others, but they all kind of fall into that tier of, yeah, you might be waiting around all year like you did last year for Kyle Pitts, or, you know, George Kittle might be out for half the year because he's injured, or Darren Waller, you know, same kind of thing. He gets injured a lot, you know, so you got some of those risks down here in this, in the dregs. Evan Engram disappeared for 3 years in the fantasy landscape. TJ Hockenson was never used for most of his career, and now all of a sudden we're thinking he's going to be used more. Dallas Goedert's actually probably a pretty safe guy, but he's got a lot of competition for targets. So a lot of different things there. And then after that, it's hopeful startables. So that's that tier with Kincaid, Laporta, Conklin, Njoku, Cade Otton, Juwan Johnson, Parham, Knox, Jake Ferguson, Okonkwo, Everett, all those guys. And then beyond that, it's just depth pieces, and that's Hunter Henry. See, he's rosterable. Mike Gesicki, Irv Smith, Trey McBride, Zach Ertz, Logan Thomas, Noah Fant, Isaiah Likely, Daniel Bellinger, all those guys. And that's only 32 ranked tight ends. So I'm sure there's other ones that are worth taking a shot on. And those are our tiers. What do you think, Dr. Chibb, about going over our weekly starts, our week one starts of the week? Are we ready to go? You picked first, so I'll let you go first.
This is what everybody's been waiting for, is back. Last year was a tie, right?
Apparently I don't have that information ready to go. I think we were close to a tie. I'll look that up while you're doing your guys. How's that?
We'll talk. I remember. Right. First pick for the quarterback. I remember y'all, in this situation, this segment, we pick players who are not obvious picks, right? And based on how they perform, we rank them between bad, not great, okay, good, and great. If a quarterback does less than 10 points, that's bad. They do 10 points to 14 points, that's not great. 15 points to 19 points, that's great. No, that's okay. 25 points, it's like 30 points, that's good. 30 points above 30 points is great. And so and then running backs have a similar tier, but theirs starts at four, less than four, four to six, 7 to 9, 10 to 20, and over 20. So, receivers seems like situation. Tight ends very similar, and defense and kickers also very similar. All right, let's go to it. My quarterback pick this week is Derek Carr versus Tennessee.
Meh. Also, I looked it up. I've got a 6-5 ratio, which doesn't make much sense because there's 18 weeks in a season. So, yeah, we're gonna need to go and circle back on what that record was. But
Who
my
won?
quarterback for the 6 was me, and the 5 was you. So, we don't have to check those the rankings. That might. We might have tied a lot of weeks. That could have been the issue there. So I don't know.
Well, we'll be better this year. Let's see what
Yeah.
happens.
Yeah. Exactly. Quarterback Sam Howell versus Arizona. Right as I was writing him, you were trying to switch your pick to this guy. So I know you agree for sure. And Washington agrees. They love this guy and they're hyping him up. I just hope he doesn't fall flat on his face. But Arizona, not a good defense, I would say. So I think he's got a good shot to get a good have a good showing here in week one.
That's true. All right, my running back is Rashad Penny versus the Patriots.
I like it. You got to take your shot on Philadelphia, who your guy's going to be. Similar story in Indianapolis for me, with Jonathan Taylor out. I'd prefer to have the kind of unknown, or the upside play, I guess you could say, with the rookie Evan Hull, versus Jacksonville. So, but one of those Indianapolis running backs who's out there is going to have a workload. That's just kind of how they play.
Not true. Our receiver, I got Zay Flowers versus Texans.
Not a bad shot. Hopefully he leads the team. I'd love to see that. My wide receiver is Juju Smith-Schuster of he's on New England now, and Mac Jones. Again, New England loves the slot guys, so I'm thinking he's just going to get peppered with targets in a really horrible loss to the Philadelphia Eagles.
You get murdered in the middle. So, my pick was tight end Greg Dulcich versus the Raiders.
Tight end Cole Kmet, Chicago versus Green Bay.
Defense, I picked Falcons versus Carolina.
For my defense, Jacksonville versus Indianapolis.
And my kicker, I picked Joey Sly versus the Cardinals. Joey Sly is on the Commanders.
Gotcha. And I've got Brandon McManus of Jacksonville against Indianapolis. So I actually have three guys in that, or three, at least three positions in that one freaking game. So I'll
It's
have to
interesting
thread the
McManus.
needle.
He was on the Broncos last year.
Yeah, he was on the Broncos.
He was garbage for me.
Yep. Yeah, not phenomenal, but that's because the Broncos are garbage. So
That's true. So, all right. Thank you, everybody, for joining us.
Next week, we're talking week two.
Next week, we're talking outcomes of our picks. We're doing those picks again. Then we're going to look at week two games as well. And I think we should have talked this week about taxi squads. But we can maybe do a blurb about it next week.
Well, next week it'll be too late, so we might as well throw it in here. Fill up your taxi squad now before week one, because it will lock for most leagues. So you won't be able to get anybody else on your taxi squad before week one. Guys, there's going to be football soon. Like, hopefully you'll listen to this podcast and then there'll be football. But yeah, football's coming this week. Thursday, right?
Yep.
Holy crap. That's watching. Amazing. So that is Kansas City versus Detroit. So yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I'm doing Thursday. I'm sure I have plans and I think they're gonna be thrown in the garbage. I don't know. It's gonna be watch football time. Anyways, please reach out to us, Instagram, Twitter, at Blue Collar Dynasty, and at Born Football, BORNE Football. We really would love to hear from you. You know, if you send us something, we're going to put it on the podcast probably. So send it our way, and don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast wherever you listen.
That's our weekly podcast. Remember, y'all, choose happiness and spread love.
Give them hell.